I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
So I actually just remembered Jason Mraz was a thing for me for a minute.
What?
I'm sad to admit that I was hot for him for a second.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually.
No. Please do not do me wrong. Okay.
I mean, he's not. He's cute.
And I'm not talking about the fedora pictures.
I pulled up the wrong reference.
He's only wearing fedora.
I said, do me right.
Central. Welcome everyone to the second episode of Fangirl Central.
Wow. Like literally. We're so excited to be here with Joy Sunday.
Oh my goodness.
I'm so excited to be here with the Millers.
In the flesh.
Let's just introduce ourselves. Let's go ahead and do it.
Before we forget.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Amber.
We're sisters.
We are sisters famously known for forgetting to introduce ourselves.
And this is Fangirl Central, the show where we ask the question, how was being a fangirl central to your identity?
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. We love a title that it's tied in.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're here with Joy, and you might know her from Wednesday.
Get on Netflix.
Bianca Barclay. A little bit of backstory. We went to USC together.
We did.
How did you
survive?
Wow. I'm so proud of both of you.
We are survivors of PWIs. You were in one of my first short films.
Yes. Very proudly with Joy Ofodu.
Joy Squared.
One of my favorite short films of Sister Amanda. One of my favorites. I will watch it on a fun day.
Y'all should call each other Sister Amanda, Sister Amber.
I'm down, and
I'm going to start calling y'all that.
Amber already calls me sister. When you graduated USC, did you foresee your first breakout role being so fandom forward?
No, I didn't foresee my first breakout role at all. Mm. And in fact, it's funny to think of this role being a breakout. Somebody else said that to me today, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize that's what people think of this.
Girl,
because wow. I've been working,
yeah,
you know, since I graduated. So it doesn't feel like a breakout in that way where it's mm-hmm. like, oh, she came out her mother's womb, a star. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to work my way towards
yes.
it.
Yes, so. As a fangirl. I've noticed that a lot of people, like with fandoms, mm-hmm. in interviews with a question like, what's your reaction to this being your breakout role? They'll say the exact thing that they're like, I wasn't thinking about it and I didn't know that this was what that was. And I think as soon as you get that question asked, that honestly might be, they'll also ask, like, what was the moment that you realized? And I'm like, they probably just realized when you asked the
exactly.
question.
I just realized that with this meeting I had today, I was like, oh, I guess it's. I mean, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's great. You know where those girls end up, so.
Yes. It is. You've been consistently working, and I've been seeing you, and you've been working in front of and behind the cameras. Mm-hmm. So it is fun to see it coalesce, especially. Now I have to get my socks. Oh, my goodness. Oops. I'm so sorry. I have to get my socks in view. I'm wearing.
Am I wearing plain ass socks?
We're wearing.
Wow, I didn't get the pair.
We're getting.
I really didn't get the memo. Y'all have it on matching
the
feet
guess
too.
The pair. We should have gotten to guess the pair.
Wow.
I first started wanting to be a filmmaker because I watched Tim Burton movies and I watched Nightmare Before Christmas over and over and over again. And I was like, the style, the darkness, I'm emo, I'm 13. It's really speaking to me. But I like identified with Jack Skellington because he was like this very sad, tortured artist who didn't feel like himself. But I didn't see people that looked like me. And so I told you this when you booked the role. I was like, if I was 13, I would be obsessed with you. Like, you have to know that this is what's going to happen.
That's so true. Wow.
Do you like,
whoa,
what a loaded.
Wow, Joy.
You can't, like, I understand you cannot internalize that.
You can't conceive of it at all. Mm-mm. There was one video of this girl who cosplayed Bianca. Oh, and that was pretty wild. Because I was like, I know me as a 13-year-old did not have anybody I could cosplay besides Jackie from Cyber Chase. Mm-hmm. That was who I was holding on to. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, there's nobody who looked like me. Mm-hmm. So that was really, really cool because, you know, it was just... Yo,
that's
awesome.
Surreal. That's like surreal.
And it's been really lovely. I've had a lot of friends who are like, oh, my niece is obsessed with you or like really loves you. And it's just so nice to connect with them. And I don't know that I even realized how big of a deal it is because it never happened to me.
Really. Right. Like on the, you mean like reverse?
Mm-hmm. Like I never got to grow up with that kind of example.
Yeah.
Largely.
Yeah. That, I mean, it makes sense. Like, even, like us as fangirls, we you just kind of have to like cling on to anything that you can try to see yourself in. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Miley Cyrus sitting right next to you. Like, she was from Tennessee. We were from Tennessee. So we were like, oh, like that bitch is me. Mm-hmm. But she's not.
Nothing like it. This generation has you.
Which is wild to think.
Like, honestly.
It's really crazy.
This might be the moment I'm realizing.
No,
this.
Take a moment. Because really and truly.
Let's take a moment because we go to Comic-Con every year. We could see people dressed as you there.
I'm probably going to be there this year.
Ooh. You're probably going to get stopped by you all know. Ages.
Because that's like the center of fandom. When Wednesday dropped, it was like...
They took it and they accepted it and then that's it. They said
everyone watch it now.
Yeah. They said we identify with this.
Yeah.
For some reason, this is now our escapism.
Yeah.
And once a teen, once that age group finds that, that's all, that's they have like tunnel vision on it. It's like getting them through whatever they're going through at the time.
How was being a fangirl central to your identity? Like, how did it affect you psychologically? Or and maybe affect like what you wanted to do with your life?
And it could be a range of things. It doesn't even have to be a TV show. It could be anything that you just connected to and use as escapism.
I know exactly what I connected to. Now that I know it doesn't have to be TV. Mm-hmm. I really connected with music growing up. And it was funny because I actually, like you guys, grew up in a really Christian like environment. And my parents wouldn't allow me to watch a lot of things or listen to a lot of secular music. And so I grew up going to Yahoo. And they used to have a radio feature.
I remember
and
that.
You could listen to different genres.
Yeah.
And I would often listen to the gospel and R&B gospel.
Oh,
arena. And so I grew up with like a lot of that, but also a lot of African Christian versions of secular songs that I would only find out 12 years later had secular versions of them. So the only way I'm familiar with Bob Marley's sound is through like versions of songs.
Okay, that is so interesting. That is
and so wow. I grew up with, I didn't grow up with No Woman, No Cry. I grew up with No Jesus, No Life.
Okay.
So, and like, so
wow.
And so, but it was still like, it was so major for me. I mean, the music was still good.
Yeah.
I was listening to Mary Mary, who their producer is Dark Child, who's also producing like all the girls.
Yeah.
Mariah, Brandy. So they like, I was hearing the sound, but I couldn't connect it. But I was still like, this is so good. Like listening back to back. So then I'm listening to Brandy as an adult and I'm like, why? I texted my sister, like, why didn't you let me know who Brandy was?
Right.
Because I could have been, like, I wanted to be a pop star when I was younger. Yeah. But then when I was like, I don't want to be Christian, it kind of went away.
And it was connected to that. Wow.
So when did music unlink from Christianity then?
When I was like... maybe 9, 10. Okay, so what happened was my family's been in the same church for eons. And the pastor's daughter one day just gave me her iPod. I was getting to middle school. She gave me her iPod.
What version?
And she was like the
Nano.
Not the Nano, but it was the skinny one.
Okay.
Yeah. So she gave me her iPod and she was like, yeah, like you can borrow this for some time. And I was like, really? And she was like, yeah. And so I borrowed it and it had Reliant K, Switchfoot.
Okay, those are Christian.
Also had Tupac.
Okay.
There's like some other ones.
And so that was my sneaky way of getting to listen to secular music. Mm. And that's how I kind of... I weirdly got into Tupac and Portishead at the same time, kind of.
Mm-hmm. And it was not because of her.
But yeah. The iPod was like that center. And that's how I got into secular music, because then it was like Tupac and it was like the other side of, you know, Reliant K.
Yes.
I would say I was Sadie pretty Hawkins passionate dance. About Reliant K, actually, at some point. I still know a lot of their songs, but Mary Mary was really like formative for me, mm-hmm. In terms of soul and just... That's a lot of the R&B that I like now very much is reminiscent of that.
Yes. Sound.
I would drive to church with like the choir leader or whatever and my brother, because my brother played bass. And so I wouldn't be traveling with my parents. So they would play music in the car and they'd be like, okay, like, what do you want to listen to? And I'd be like, Mary Mary. And they got so tired of it. But I could listen to them anytime. And I still do from time to time. I'm like, let me listen to some Mary Mary. I could still sing all the songs, do all the ad libs, all of them.
That's that connect.
The ad libs are a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ad libs are a huge thing about being a fangirl. Sometimes I will only sing the ad libs in a song. And
wait,
people will be
same.
Like, what song are you singing? This is not what's going on. Are you
like,
making
what
something
part
up?
Are you
and I'm
doing?
Like, listen to it in the background. Listen to her.
Right. Listen to the,
exactly,
the bottom track,
exactly.
Whatever's not on the top layer.
I think a Mary Mary song was what I was listening to when I first realized that music had layers.
Mm.
When I was in middle school, and I remember, wow, like, because I was listening to it a lot, and then I was realizing, oh, I'm hearing this different sound that isn't very forward. Mm-hmm. And that's really when I got really passionate about music, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, it's doing so much more than I realized.
It's a soundscape. Like, it's yeah, painting a picture in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, and then, of course, all the imagination that was going with it. So
the music videos.
The music videos in my head, girl.
Okay.
That's, wow, where I was first starring.
Yeah.
That's where the work began.
That's how you know. That's how you knew.
So you
That's
were starring
you
in your own music
videos.
Videos.
But they weren't necessarily even music videos. Honestly, they were live performance art. Like, that's what it was in my head.
Yeah.
It wasn't music videos. It was, like, live performances.
Like,
I
you were choreographing the whole thing.
Yeah.
The stage production.
And it wasn't only necessarily me. I would have, like, choirs and,
mm-hmm,
shit.
The background dancers.
That's
everything.
So important, because it is such a community-based,
yeah,
visualize
it. Like, yeah.
I mean, also considering that I grew up wanting to be a pop star, that's probably also why. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you know Stacey Orrico.
Yes.
Also my girl.
Yeah.
Now I need to.
Now
Stacey
hold
Orrico.
On a minute. Let me see if I have some of her on my own iPod.
Do a little.
And I famously call my phone my iPod still.
It's because, like, what do you mean your iPod?
Because
when she goes to Apple Music.
Because I use Apple Music. Yeah, I have Stacey. I've stuck by her on my phone. And I was obsessed with this song for like...
Stacey Orrico is that
girl. Let me see that album cover.
It was her and JoJo for me growing up.
JoJo is so important. Did you love Aquamarine?
I think I knew this song too.
No.
Have you seen it?
Probably not.
What about Sky Sweetenum? Is that even the same genre? Tell me. No?
Do you know Barlow Girl?
I don't know. No.
Oh, okay. I'm getting deep.
This is a segment of like... fangirl culture, with like being obsessed with random pop girls,
yes,
that are not remembered by history.
Right. Okay, yes. And that's something that that's really true. Everyone will have a niche thing that people will be like, remember this? And people are like, oh my God, you just pulled something from the depths of my mind, yeah, memory, my brain. But then you'll have them also putting on something that we all have like huge memory of or access to, like a random, like the That's a Raven theme song. And they're like, y'all remember this?
Or the Proud Family theme song.
Or the Proud Family. And it's like, yes, we remember this.
It's on Disney Plus.
It's everywhere now. It's not hard to get to now.
But yes, Sky Sweetenum is something of the recesses of the mind. Stacey Orrico.
Yes.
I never said her name out loud because I didn't have a community to listen to
her with. Oh, I didn't
either.
But she was the only like pop girl that I could really listen to. Uh-huh. And I remember one time I was playing this song, my sister like peeks over from her computer. She's like, I don't like these lyrics.
Oh, were they too secular?
Words?
I think it was like some song. I forget what song it was, but yeah, it was just like slightly about love.
Mm. Oh, no.
Yeah.
We can't have that.
We can't have that.
House of the Lord.
No, not in the house.
What,
wow.
Like, what denomination Christian?
Yeah.
African.
Okay.
Okay.
We were in the Church of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like we take everything the Bible says literally. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we think all other Christians are stupid for not taking the Bible literally. And so it was very extreme. And so I feel the same. Like, it wasn't the same with secular music, but it was like, if I hear Ashley Tisdale talk about getting with a guy at night, I'm scandalized.
We saw Hairspray and Zac Efron said, kiss my ass in the movie. And after the movie, I said, Amanda, it's okay because I don't think he curses in real life. And then Amanda responded and she goes, Amber, I have to tell you something. I was reading this interview and he actually did say, and I can't even remember what the shit. It was shit. He actually did say shit in the interview. And it was really him talking. It was like, and so we really had a moment together where we were like, Zac Efron curses.
And you got to listen to Zac Efron.
Yeah, we got to listen, yeah. But it was like for us, like we felt morally wrong. We were like, but we love him and he curses.
Yeah.
And he's against our morals.
Oh my gosh.
But we had to get over it because he was so handsome.
Did you have any celebrity crushes that you were obsessed with?
So I didn't prepare this, but I tried to think about it. And I don't know that I was ever obsessed. I think my two crushes that I could think of when I was younger, because mind you, I didn't get to watch BET or like, you know, a lot. So I wasn't very exposed to a lot of Black actors either.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew Disney was selling me something I didn't want. I was like,
"This is fishy."
Yeah,
this is fishy.
I'm not really into Corey? These blonde boys. I'm
the blonde boys are Corey
and what's his face, Jesse,
McCartney.
Jesse McCartney.
McCartney. It was a moment because I was like, "Ooh, the song sound cute," but then I was like, "No, it's not really working for me." So the only ones I could think of were Christian Bale.
I had a Christian Bale phase too.
And then Aragorn from Lord of the Rings.
He's hot too.
And so they're both like dark haired brooding people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. That was my type as well. It was like the bad boy.
And I think I think no, Viggo isn't from Wales, but like they're both in the same genre of European.
He could probably do a Welsh accent.
Dark, tall, and handsome where it's like just a white man with Italian features.
Exactly. Exactly.
What made you say Christian Bale is for me? Because for me, it was Christopher Nolan movies. Not Batman. Mm. Like, I wasn't attracted to him in Batman, but I loved him in, like, The Prestige.
Yes. For me, American I think I watched. He was the only actor that I knew was a child actor, I think. So I saw him in The Newsies as well.
Yeah, I love
Newsies. I've seen The Newsies.
And I watched American Psycho way too early. But I was just like, oh, it's Edge. Mm-hmm. You know, like, love it. Absolutely. And it was bonkers. Real acting. So, yeah, The Prestige. Yeah. Didn't have a clue who Hugh Jackman was, but
right,
I was there for Christian. So yeah.
Hugh Jackman was cute too.
Hugh Jackman came to me in a very late point in life. And what I mean by that,
to say he came up to you in person.
Oh no. But I didn't start caring about Hugh Jackman until The Greatest Showman. And it was only for that month and then it left.
Wow. You know what? I was really into Men Who Could Sing. That was a thing for me. So I actually just remembered Jason Mraz was a thing for me for a minute.
What?
Yeah.
What was that song?
That is what?
That is blowing my mind right now.
What?
I can't even picture Jason Mraz. I don't even know what that man looks like.
Right. I can't picture him at all. I can think of that song.
I'm sad to admit that I was hot for him for a second.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually.
No. Please do not do me wrong. Okay. Right?
He's safe.
I can't vouch for him.
This is the safest space.
You might not be able to vouch for him now, but it's okay.
No, it's okay because I know that he had hit songs and if he could sing, the time, then it's all
well, I don't
okay.
actually even it's I have right. to really look back because can he really sing?
Well, who knows?
But
well,
can I tell you something?
But his lyrics though.
For a second.
Yeah, but like that was a manufactured, you know, path. That was a beaten path for you. I did not have a beaten path for Jason Mraz.
Right.
Nobody
you
else was listening to
you're
his.
Right.
Did you see?
I didn't told.
It was the lyrics.
It was the lyrics.
Are you talking about? Well, you done me in your bed, I felt it. Is that what you
okay.
talking
about? Well, yes, but he has other songs that I was like, you know, I really liked it. Like,
well, he kind of looks like
let me look
that
at him.
Coldplay boy.
Chris Martin?
Mm-hmm.
No, he don't.
Oh, I mean, he's not, he's cute.
And I'm not talking about the fedora pictures.
I pulled up the wrong reference.
He's only wearing fedoras.
I said, do me right.
He's well, not wearing it. There's no hair. Pictures of him not wearing fedoras.
Okay, but also, if you look at that picture, don't he look a little bit like Christian Bale? So tell me I didn't have a through line.
Yeah.
I was consistent.
You had to have some facial hair. Safety.
Exactly.
Facial hair.
And long hair, too. So I was very much, I've always been into long hair.
Yes.
Oh, that is.
And that's not only on white men.
And like brown and sandy. So.
I love long hair too. I love a man who can sing. And I also love a man who can dance. Because not many of them can.
Not many of them can. Although, if a man who can dance means either Latin or African, I'm not doing any boogie.
What boogie?
What are you talking about?
I don't know, but the white man who can dance, I'm like, what does that really mean?
Okay.
I just mean, I just mean people who can dance in general. And you're right. People of color who tend to dance better than white people. If that's controversial, sorry.
These are the
but
facts.
But it's just part of our culture.
Article, Amanda Miller
said that people of color can dance
better.
I just mean it's inherently part of our culture to like, if you move your body earlier in life, like you're just more comfortable with it. And I have a lot of white friends that are scared to move their bodies. Yeah. I feel like
out in public.
Yeah,
just out in public, and they have to have they need to be given permission. Yeah. You know, I do have a Jason Mraz story, and it's going to take a very quick amount of time.
I want to hear it.
But we went to a predominantly white all girls school in the South, and so I was like on this birthday party where they took like I'm telling you a bus full of girls and boys to a farm. It was a get out situation that I was like, yeah, this is normal. I'm 12 and I'm going to a farm with a bunch of white people.
Who's to say it wasn't?
And there was only one other black boy there, and there were two black girls. It was me and my friend, and there was like a dance portion of the day. There was like a lake portion and a hoedown portion, and then it was slow dance. I'm Yours by Jason Mraz comes on, and the only black boy there, I will not say his name.
Even though he knows who he is.
Even though he knows who he is. Came up to, like, I saw him walking towards me, and so I turned my back so that he would have to tap me on the shoulder. Wow. Like, this tells so much about my personality, I think. But I turned my back so that he had to tap me on the shoulder. I turned around and was like, yes. And he was like, do you want to dance? And I was like, okay. And so we danced to I'm Yours by Jason Mraz.
Oh, it happened.
That's
and
really
I thought
nice.
That it was very, I thought I was like so cool. And then the next slow dance came on and he asked the other black girl to dance with him.
At least he was there for the black woman.
That's true. But
I mean,
he was making his rounds.
He was, it's too complex.
I think, okay, yes, he was there for the black woman, but he was there for all three of the black women at a, like a 16 white woman party.
But that's girls. Saying more than a lot of people in LA.
You're right.
And it's a different type of person.
You're right.
It's a different type of, because if I go into
I'm
a situation.
About,
you got to be fair.
If I go into a situation where there's a black boy and I'm the only black girl and we're the only black people there and he ignores me,
that's
I'm like,
rude.
Okay, so I understand who you are.
Right.
How did we get on this?
Because let's remember that, mind you, everyone, you guys were in situation, but this baby boy wanted to make sure all the black girls got a dance.
Her dance.
I see that now.
And we were friends. We had a like texting relationship. I'm embarrassed. Oh. It was a very small school. So like anyone who sees this knows exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly the birthday.
Exactly who I just called a baby boy. No, it's okay.
Goodness.
Sweet one. We see you and we understand you.
We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
For the dance.
Thanks for the dance.
Amanda Lane Miller, ungrateful to black men.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Since we're on the topic of being black versus being white.
Go ahead. Get into it.
The race war.
I just want to bring up.
We're listening.
I just want to bring up into the space, like, what have you ever felt judged by anybody for something that you like? Like, for example, anime.
Jason Mraz.
Okay.
And you see how this was a safe space.
Okay. Yeah. It was a safe space. And we did encroach that. Comment below if you think Jason Mraz is hot. He's not hot. It was random
comment
to me.
Your most favorite
I was
Jason Mraz
a 13 year old girl.
Exactly. Like, it's okay.
I can think
searching
of,
for
it
meaning.
It just came way out of the left field. It came out of left field.
Who was your singer songwriter of the decade?
Of the decade?
Okay. Caucasian? Of the time.
Caucasian? Because I have a list.
Wait,
is why
wait.
I'm saying you can't be embarrassed.
Yeah, who's your list? Let me see your list. At least mine had a hit.
Amber, I don't know if you have a list because it's singer-songwriter. It's not like people like the Jonas Brothers.
Calm down.
I mean, I guess the Jonas Brothers did write their...
Singer-songwriter of the decade.
Like a white man who has a guitar.
Well, like, there's not that many.
It was Ed Sheeran. It really was.
But you wouldn't have a crush on him.
Crush on Ed Sheeran.
Oh, this is news to me.
See? Okay.
Yeah, I had a crush on Ed Sheeran.
I really liked
Safe Space.
I loved
Thank
Plus.
You.
Plus, for me, my timeline of listening to things, that year of 2012, Plus. It was Plus. It was his first album.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran's Plus. It had A-Team on it.
I don't know any of his songs.
In the class, A-Team. Stuck in her daydreams. Been this way since they
It plays as soon as... It used to play as soon as you plugged in your phone into the newer...
Joy
cars.
Missed A-Team.
You didn't know what A-Team was at all?
I could not tell you what it
Joy
is.
Joy missed A-Team.
It's okay, Joy.
Let's move past it. I was listening to Ed Sheeran's Plus, then Bastille, while I was writing my 5-paragraph essays on Sundays. And then Take Me Home, One Direction.
Let me just go back, because I also want to say some names. Ed Sheeran, other than Ed Sheeran, it was... I did listen to 21 Pilots. Amanda listened to 21 Pilots.
But that was senior year. That was senior year.
We were caught.
Talk about white
we
Christian
were in
bands.
Tennessee, Joy. What were we to do? They
no, my roommate was really into 21 Pilots.
Talk about white Christian bands.
White Christian bands.
Reliant like, K, Switchfoot. I had to listen to 21
they didn't
Pilots.
Even post a black square
I think,
in 2020.
I think one of their lyrics is like, it's like talking about looking at their person when they're sleeping and they're like, I love the slits in your eyes.
I don't even know what that line is. What is that line?
Is that the one that starts with the...
Stressed out.
Amber, that's not the subject of that song.
I know, that's the only one.
I was just like, not you making an allusion to cutting. To say it's romantic when you look at me sleeping.
You know what? They did romanticize a lot of gross things.
They sang about suicide a lot.
A lot.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, why are you...
Yes. My other white boy songwriter was another problematic man, Panic at the Disco, and that was only for 1 year.
That's not a singer-songwriter.
Oh, what about John Mayer? Let's go to the classics.
We
Let's
didn't,
talk about the
we're
classics.
Not a John Mayer household.
Okay, I'm not a John Mayer household either, but at least let's go with the classics.
His head is huge.
I
Who
can't,
about the singer-songwriters? You guys have not named
we don't,
a lot of singer-songwriters.
We weren't into singer-songwriters.
I was into real musicians.
we were not into. We liked the machine. We drank the Kool-Aid of the machine.
Yeah, like they, we were like, it's marketed towards the little girls in the South, and that was us.
We have a show about it. I'm plugging it. Disney Vortex, all of April and May, if you're in LA at the Legion Theater.
But we also grew from the machine.
April 2023.
We are 2023.
Now, I would like to talk about Tim Burton a little bit.
Talk about it.
Because Sally's dress is on the bed.
Joy is here.
It is just important to me that I never saw myself in Tim Burton things. And the first huge main character black woman is my dear friend Joy.
That's a coincidence.
That's...
And coincidences mean we're on the right track. Like, that's insane.
That's the universe speaking.
Speaking. That's a strong coincidence.
I just feel like I was like...
It was what is this accent that you do?
Because I'm looking at her like you're from Tennessee.
It just comes out. I don't know.
Coincidence or fate?
Fate.
Because
I think there are synonyms.
I think it ties into fandoms that you might not expect black people to be into, mm-hmm. / black women to be into. Mm-hmm. But like, we love weird shit. Like, give it up for the alt black girls.
Right. You want to see yourself.
I will say that I was so pleasantly surprised at the reception that I got in the black community. And not even just amongst fandoms, but just generally across the board. I'm so grateful for how wide the audience was. But it has been really lovely to, you know, it feels big-headed to be like, to be something that black girls can look to.
But it is.
But because there's such a dearth of it, like, it is
that's what happens.
So that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eloquent.
It's great. It's showing, like, a wave of our generation of, like, weird black girls coming into these roles. Like, making stories for themselves. Like, being in a Tim Burton thing. Like, we are weird. Like, I was listening to a Rico Nasty song, and she literally name drops Invader Zim and Hannah Montana in the same line. And I was like, where's this been all my life?
Yeah.
Like, that's who I was when I was 13, and I didn't have community to, like, talk to it about. Because if I went to an Invader Zim convention, it was all, like, old white people there. Mm-hmm. Like, and or like, I would talk to the black people at school, and they'd be like, Amanda.
Stop.
You know what? That's really helping me think, like, what else would I want to see out of black characters in this kind of fantasy or sci-fi space? Because I find Bianca to be quite a sobering character, you know, in her mythology. Obviously, we don't know too much about her yet, but she is quite, you know, a heavy character.
Yeah.
I would love to see, I mean, not that she can't be that, but of any kind of character, just, you know, one with some more levity and, you know, with more fun and zaniness, because she does exist pretty normally in that world.
Yeah.
She just happens to be part of this fantastical universe.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see more characters like that, like an Invader Zim type character that's just like out there, because there does need to be that space. I mean, let me ask y'all a question. Mm. How did you find making a space for yourself to be weird and to be in the outlier, like, even though you didn't have something to look at, and even just as part of the bigger conversation about representation, why do you think it's important specifically to have black woman characters to represent? Because at the end of the day, it's not, you know, materially changing things in the world, or do you feel like it is?
I think, honestly, for me, it was an accident. I think that I became so obsessed with these different things that I clinged on to. Kind of before I realized that I wasn't being represented, or that I realized, like, the way I was being represented or being like perceived by my peers, it was after the fact, when I started to hear comments, or when I got on Tumblr and started reading all these articles about, like, black representation, all that stuff. Then I was like, oh, and I was like, that's why there's kind of a there's
a gap.
Yeah, there's a gap of, like, oh, I love this so much, but I don't know what
is missing. And I realized it after I was already obsessed with it.
As I got older, I loved like coming into my blackness, like being able to embrace all parts of me. Like I felt like I wasn't able to do either when I was like back home in Memphis at this like very conservative, restricting place. I had to like kind of be normal in both ways. Like I had to be normal in terms of like white society, which was like this version of like a straight white girl. But then even among black Southern people, I had to be a normal black girl. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't until I moved to LA and like I started becoming like embracing my blackness and embracing my queerness that I was like, okay, I'm very weird.
Yeah.
And I want to see, I don't know. Like my taste doesn't quite line up with what's already out there. And if it does, it's like a bunch of white people that don't really like understand that there are black people that have these tastes. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that it has tangible effects. Mm-hmm. To listen to Rico Nasty talk about Invader Zim and Hannah Montana and see that she's like, I think she's insanely cool. And she like can rap really well and dance really well and sing and like be this like bad bitch, but also she's so weird. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
or like this white nerdy like concept. Same with Meg, the Stallion.
Same with Meg, mm-hmm. who loves anime. Same with Doja Cat. Dochi. Like Dochi.
Mentioned Judy B. Jones in her song. That was amazing to me.
Lil Nas. Like, I think it does have it tangible change because it revolutionizes the way we see ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then it revolutionizes what we think we can do.
Yeah.
The possibility.
Releases boundaries or what you as can well.
Say out loud.
That's really even. Important.
Releases yeah. boundaries. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Releases. And like lets you, I mean, with me and Amber, like we've just started kind of like living out loud in this past year with Fangirl Central. Like traditionally it's stuff that we would just say to each other and sometimes our close friends. Mm-hmm. And then people would be like, I mean, Amanda, I didn't expect you to say all that about the Jonas Brothers. Not that the Jonas Brothers are weird, but like just but like certain things that like, I don't talk about Invader Zim in public.
Yeah.
I used to not, but now I'm like, here it is. Like, this is all part of me.
Like, you don't need to know the details or, like, how many, like, fandom paraphernalia boxes I traveled across the country with. But I'll proudly tell everybody.
I really wish that I had something that I was so passionately a fan of. I actually recently met somebody who's an avid collector, Alice in Wonderland memorabilia, and has Alice in Wonderland, like, in a tower and on its property, like, 174 translations of Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, wow.
And I just love the collection of it, and I hope that fandoms, and especially Black fandoms, can really begin to create this space and history and legacy of things like so with Black characters. Because that's what, you know, is important for progeny.
Yeah. Have you been lurking in fandom spaces? And if you have for Wednesday, is there anything you would like to touch on, elaborate, bring to light, say to the fans directly?
To the Wednesday fans directly. I think we can always do a lot more to support characters of color, Black characters, and queer characters. Mm-hmm. And I think that does happen in the fandom, at least for queer characters, but I'm not sure how much it does for Black characters.
Yes.
And in general with fandoms, right? Maybe even Caleb McLaughlin also spoke about this with Stranger Things. There's not a lot of visibility that these Black actors in this sci-fi or fantasy space, there's not a lot of attention that they get. Moses Ingram has talked about it. I'm sure a lot of the Marvel actors feel the same. John Boyega. A lot of people, you know, struggle with it and being in these majority white properties. I think that's something fandoms generally can do more to be aware of, especially if we say we care about, you know, these social movements. I think it means a lot to also care about the stories that are being told about the people that you supposedly care for.
Yeah, that's right. Very well said.
Oh, my goodness.
Very well spoken. Well, that was Joy Sunday.
Also, I love you.
Ah. And they love you, Joy. And we love you.
We love you.
Love you guys.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being
this
on.
This was amazing. This was healing, wholesome. I love a circle.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening and watching.
Trying.
Bye-bye.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.